Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
Well, good morning. Can everyone hear me okay? It is so good to see everyone. If you would, I would like to go ahead and just start off with some prayer. So if everyone would just stand. And if you would, just open your hands. Lord, we thank you for this day. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come upon us. We ask that you would speak to us, Lord. Encounter us today. Let us see you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that whatever the reason is that someone's here this morning, if they're going through a hard time, if there's been struggles, if there's been anxiety, if they need healing, I ask, Lord, that you would meet them right now where they are. I pray for healing to come. I pray for peace to come. And Lord, we ask that you would have your way. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Lord, and move. Do what you want to do. And bless this morning. This is your house, Father. So we come to you, Lord, and we say, Father, do whatever you want to do this morning. Whatever you want to speak to us, let our ears be open to hear you. Let our eyes be open to see the things that you want us to see. And I ask that each person in this room would receive something from you. So let our hearts be open. We're here, Lord, and we're asking that you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, lately, the Lord has been speaking to me a lot about his presence. He's been speaking to me a lot about what happens in the presence of God. What happens when we actually encounter him? So many times, there's so much more to it. As most of you know, there's so much more to the Christian life than just going to church on Sunday. There's so much more than just Wednesday youth group. There's so much more to this life than just once a week. It's an everyday thing. It's a relationship. He desires for us to know him better than we know anyone else. He desires for us to hear his voice, and every single person in this room can hear his voice. The scripture says that we can hear the voice of God. You can literally hear God's voice. It's not something set aside for a priest. It's not something set aside for a pastor. It's for every person who calls upon. All it takes is one moment. All it takes is us calling upon his name. And in that instant, in that moment, he can meet us and everything can change. Most of what I'm going to be reading now today is Isaiah 6. And I'll just start at the beginning. It says in Isaiah 6, "It was the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory.'" This is what's really amazing about this. When you read this right here, it didn't say that the whole earth was filled. It didn't say the whole earth can be filled. They said the whole earth is filled with his glory. The glory of God is here right now. The glory of God has already filled the earth. He's here. He's omnipresent. He's right here with us in this moment, in this time. But sometimes we don't always see him. Sometimes we don't always feel his presence. Sometimes we don't always hear his voice. Jesus said It was in John 11:40. He said, and this is the passage when he raised Lazarus from the dead, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" See, there's a component here where if we just have faith, if we believe, then we would see his glory. And what was his glory in that specific passage? It was Lazarus being raised from the dead, and that showed the glory of God. There's a story I heard when I was listening to the sermon by Roland and Heidi Baker, these missionaries, and they mentioned how one time they went to Indonesia, and they were at a conference, and they were praying for people, and there was some impartation, and then they left. Well, they actually got a message sometime after they left, and the husband, they were on a coffee plantation. That's where they were doing their event. The husband that owned that area, he was messaging them, and he said, "My wife died." And then after he said that his wife died, he said that for an entire week, they were praying for God to raise her from the dead. For an entire week. And understand, it sounds crazy. Understand. But believe me, if you go to Africa, this kind of stuff's not crazy. For a whole week, they were praying for the Lord to raise her from the dead. Nothing was happening. And in that area, you have the tropical heat, and so her body is just rotting for a week on the bed. Well, after a week, she woke up and she said, "Listen, I've been with Jesus. I want to stay with him." And went right back down and they buried her. But you see, this is when God touches you, you have a faith to believe that he can do things like this. You believe that he is all-powerful. You believe that he is a way maker. You believe that there's nothing impossible for him. There's another story of Reinhard Bonnke, who his ministry is Christ for All Nations, and they've seen almost 80 million people come to Jesus. And he's passed away now, but there was a time when he was doing an event, and these people brought a dead body there. It was in the casket and everything, and they brought it to the event. Now, obviously, if someone shows up with that, you would think, yeah, the elders, they stopped them and they said, "You can't come in here with that." And it makes sense. So they put the body and the casket to the side of the event. And the lady, what happened, her husband had died, and she thought, if only I could just get him there, then maybe, just maybe, the Lord might raise him from the dead. And this is a documented miracle. So they have his death certificate. They took everything out of his insides. They plugged him up and everything. Well, he wasn't even prayed for or anything. He was just sitting beside the event. Next thing you know, he comes out of his casket, and then he gets raised from the dead. And what happens is, a police officer was nearby who was Muslim, and this guy had to help him take the plugs out of his nose and mouth and all of that stuff, and the man was raised back to life. And this is a documented thing. You have he had a death certificate. You have the person who took all the organs out. You have the police officer who's Muslim, who has no reason to lie, who helped them take the plugs out. Like this is our God. He can do anything he wants to do. And so many times we think it's okay to settle for less. We think it's okay, you have arthritis. That's just a normal thing about being old, and we just got to push through it. God can heal you of arthritis. It doesn't have to be a normal thing. Since when is it normal to be sick? Why is that the norm? That doesn't even make sense. That's not even logical. The Lord can heal you. All we have to do is call upon his name. There's so many other stories. I mean, this sermon's not about this, but I'll share one more story. There's So Heidi and Roland Baker, they have a ministry in Mozambique, and they are known. God has given them a gift to where I think pretty much 100% of blind and deaf people they pray for there are healed. 100%. When they're other places, it's not 100%. Sometimes they pray for people and it doesn't happen. But the Lord has just given them just some special anointing for that country of Mozambique. Well, you can look this up too. A team from Harvard came there, a team of scientists, and they came to test these people who were deaf and who were blind. They went out to the bush in Africa, remote area, and their team, what they do to show that God's real to people, people have never heard Jesus, they say, bring me all your deaf and blind people, and God's going to heal them. And they don't even start a single sermon until a deaf or a blind person comes up. And so all the deaf and blind people of that village had come up, and this team from Harvard tested each person that was there, making sure that they were actually deaf, that they were actually blind, and getting all of these readings on documentation. After they do that, they hand them over to their team. They pray for these people usually for about an hour. And then after they're praying for them, they tested them again, and 100% of them documented were completely healed, had their sight back, and had their hearing back. This is Jesus. He can do anything. There's so much more. It doesn't end there. If you're interested in more, look at Craig Keener. He's a theologian. He's written over a million words about this stuff, of documented miracles where God has moved in power. And you see, sometimes we think to ourselves, well, that's Africa. That's over there. That's not here. That's for that nation. It doesn't really happen here. God's moving here. And the Lord wants to touch people here. He wants to use his people to do it. He wants to use you as a vessel. He's the one doing it. He's the one who has the power. He's the one that is doing the miracles. But he wants to use us as a vessel. He wants to use us to go to those people who are sick, to go to those people who are hurting, and to pray for them and to be there for them. Most of the Christian church in the beginning in church history, most of it for the first 400 years grew, 80% of it grew, I would say, from God performing miracles. That is how it grew in the beginning, a lot of it. And he wants to use us. He wants to see his kingdom come here. But we have to be willing, and we have to have a heart for this. And he changes our heart. When God comes and when he touches you, he will touch your heart and you will have a new heart. And let me tell you something. When you pray for someone who's deaf and you see them healed, there's just something, you get fired up. You're like, bring me more. I want to see more deaf people because I want to pray for them right now. Talk about the Christian life is boring. I don't know what's boring about seeing someone deaf be healed. That's not boring. That's so much more. And so going further in Isaiah, in verse 4, their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. And then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. If you look at this, Isaiah's response in the presence of God is, I am not worthy. It's all over for me. I'm doomed. This is my last moment. You see, because God, he's so holy. He's so pure. He's completely glorious that anything beside him is so dirty. And you see, when you're in his presence, you quickly realize how much you need him. When you're really in the presence of God, you quickly realize that you can't do this on your own. You begin to understand that my life has been tainted with sin. We are all sinners, and we need his grace. We need his touch. We need him. And you see, sometimes when we're in his presence, sometimes because of the past, we hold so much on to the past and what we did and who we were and the mistakes that we made that we're so focused on that instead of just looking at him. And the Lord, all he wants you to do is just look at him. Allow him to touch you, to touch your life. And what does he do? What happened to Isaiah? It said, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.'" That's what happens when God touches you. As soon as he touches your life, you're cleansed just like that. As soon as he touches your life, you're forgiven just like that. It's done. Jesus said, "It is finished." And that's what happens in his presence. But we have to look to him. We have to seek him. And then in that place, when he touches us, everything changes. It's a lot like, I heard this analogy one time. When you look at trees outside, They're standing in place. They have their branches open. You don't see a tree strive to get water. You don't see a tree strive to get its nourishment. A tree is just there with its branches open. And just like us with God, instead of striving, instead of trying to get things done our own way, the only thing he wants us to do is stand still with our arms open and our eyes facing him. And in that place, he comes and he provides in a way that we would never know before. See, no matter how hard things get, no matter how difficult things are, he just wants us to call to him. And 1 Peter even talks about, it's talking to Christians saying, consider your suffering a joy. Just understand that it's a joy, it's an honor, it's a privilege to suffer for Jesus. And guess who Peter was speaking to in that time, in 1 and 2 Peter? Speaking to Christians under Emperor Nero. And what did he do? He fed Christians to lions in that time. Literally, in 1 Peter, when it's saying, considering suffering Jesus a joy, he's saying, consider it a joy to be eaten by lions. Literally. And those people in that time, in that period, they had to wake up every single day and they had to ask themselves, is it worth being eaten by a lion today? Every single day. Among other animals that would rip them to shreds in that time. That was the cost of following Jesus. And that is who he was writing to, those people. It is a joy when you're touched by Jesus. When you have the real thing, it's a joy to look like a fool for him. And Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, he saw God. He saw his power. He saw him move. Nebuchadnezzar, there was no denying who God was. He absolutely saw the power of God, and he knew God was real. But he would not turn to God, even in seeing everything. You see, you can see all the things, and I've had friends, unfortunately, this has happened to them too. You can see God move. You can see him move in power. You can see him move in signs and wonders. But if your heart's not set on him, it doesn't matter. You can easily fall away if your heart isn't on him. Because it's not about that, it's about him. When people are healed, when you see these things, it's always supposed to be to give glory and honor to him. So that people can see that he is real and he wants to encounter people. But if you're all focused on those things, it's not going to last. We have to be focused on him, and that's a byproduct of what happens. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, he saw the power of God, but he wouldn't turn. And what did God do? Literally drove him insane. Nebuchadnezzar was driven insane. The Bible says for 7 seasons, a lot of people believe that's 7 whole years, where he was out eating grass like a cow. Driven insane, it says, until he turned towards God, until he worshiped him. I mean, come on. That's pretty wild. You're driven insane, because he was so stubborn. And, you know, sometimes we're like, we think about these things of, sometimes we don't understand why we're in a certain place in life that we're in. Sometimes when we're suffering and things are happening all around us, we don't understand. And sometimes it may seem like God's punishing us. It may seem like he's not good. Just like this, that man was insane for 7 years. And from the outside, it may seem like God is not a good God. What kind of God would drive someone insane? But what was the result? He turned his face to the real, true God, and he decided to actually follow him. That was the result, eternal life. I think that's a good God. He got to enjoy what Jesus wants for all of us, to be in eternity with him in his presence. And sometimes when we go through things, we don't understand it. But I need you to understand that God knows what he's doing, even in the midst of hard things. And I'm not saying that he caused it, but I'm saying that he knows what to do through it. And if you just focus on him, keep your eyes set on Jesus, then you'll understand why that happened the way it did. Bible says that he can use all things for good. And we have to believe that. We have to trust that. He is a good God. He's a good Father. And we just need, like Jesus said, believe. You want to see God's glory? Believe. And what does belief do? Belief brings action. That's what it does. When you truly believe something, you're going to act upon it. If you really believe God's going to heal, you're going to pray for people to be healed. And if you don't believe, then you won't. That's the simple truth. It's so sad. I heard there was a pastor one time, he was over in the Middle East where, you know, you get caught being a Christian, it can be over for you. And they were weeping and weeping and weeping for our nation. And he was asking him, why are you weeping for us? Are you, you know, what's going on? Are you weeping because you can't gather like this? Are you weeping because you guys can't worship the way we do, or you can't go out in public the way we do? And they said, no, I'm not. I'm weeping because America can go out to the streets and they can proclaim Jesus, but they don't. Why is that? And the pastor responded and he said, well, the reality is they're afraid. And they said, afraid of being killed? And he said, no. Are they afraid of going to jail? He said, no. He said, they're afraid of being laughed at. That's the issue. It's fear of man. We have to get over that. Because he's worthy of it all. Christians, they knew this in the time when they were being fed to lions. To the very end, being ripped shred to shreds, they would not lay down Jesus for a single second. Because they knew how real he was, and they knew how worthy he was. If Christians are so in love with Jesus and they understand that he's worth being fed to lions, then how much more can we go out on the street and be willing to look crazy for him? That's my new prayer. Make me look crazy for you, Jesus. If you see me eating grass like a cow, you'll know why. I want him. And belief inspires action. And if we truly believe, there's got to be an action in place. It's going to show. You see, you can't pretend with God. You can't pretend to love him. He can see right through you. He can see your heart if you really are for him or not. He can see if you're just going through the motions or not. He knows exactly where you are. You're not going to fool him. So you shouldn't try to pretend like you're in a place that you're not actually in. Be real with God with where you're at, and he'll meet you. If you're not at the place where you feel like you can go out and do that and pray for people, then just be honest with God and say, Lord, I'm not at that place. Just be honest with God and say, Lord, I'm not actually that passionate about you. Be honest with where you're at, and he'll meet you in that place. It's when we start to pretend and put on a show and act like that we're someone that we're not. That's when things just get out of control. Because if you give him what you have, he can work with it. Doesn't matter how little it is. If you're pretending, though, you're not giving him anything. You're just acting like everything's okay. But if you just give him that little bit, saying, Lord, you know, I don't understand this. And honestly, God, I'm not really that passionate for you right now. But Lord, I'll choose to trust you. And I ask that you would do something with this. And if you give him that little bit, he will take it and he'll use it. And he'll use you. And he'll stir up the passion within your heart. If you want to be on fire for Jesus, bring it to him. And he'll fan the flame. And he'll make it more intense in your life. Going further after his guilt was removed and sins were forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger of this people? Who will go for us? I said, Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And he said, yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people, plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me with healing. So what happened? Isaiah, he's in the presence of God. In that place of being before the Lord touches his life. All of his sins are forgiven. All of his guilt is removed. And what happens after that? It's not over after that. The Lord commissions him and sends him out. When you're touched by God, not only will he send you out, but you'll be like I saying, here I am, send me. I want to go out. I want to be the one out. Lord, here I am, send me. You'll want it with everything inside of you. You will want it. I remember when the Lord, when he touched me at a conference, and this was a time when I was going through suicide, and I just hated my life. And then they did a prayer at the end of service, and I went up for prayer, and the Lord absolutely made me undone. And I was on the ground, and I couldn't move off that ground for at least 30 minutes. And when I got up that day, I never had another suicidal thought again. That's what the Lord does. When he touches you, he changes you, but didn't stop there. I grew up in a Baptist church. I grew up on hymns, and it was honestly boring to me. But after that moment, I heard a hymn that was boring to me, and all of a sudden, it was alive. I was like, this is pretty good. I love listening to this. And then after that, I would actually open my Bible for the first time, and it was like the Lord was speaking right to my heart. When he touches your life, things change. It does not stay the same. And you have a desire to tell others about him. Because you have no idea how many people you walk by every single day that has no idea about Jesus. Even though we're in America, you have no idea how many people have not heard the gospel. Maybe they've heard Jesus. Maybe they've heard the statement, Jesus loves you. But they haven't heard what Jesus has done for them. They haven't heard who he really is. And we get afraid. We think that people, they're going to not want to hear this. We think that people aren't going to be receptive. We think, especially you go to places like Harvard or MIT, and you think these intellectual people, they're not going to want to be receptive to hearing Jesus. They're not going to hear that. They've got too much knowledge. There's no way they would hear about Jesus. Well, some reason, some way, Heidi and Roland Baker get invited to preach at Harvard and MIT every year. and their ministry, raising people from the dead, blind seeing, the deaf ears open, that doesn't make sense. The thing is, if you're carrying the real thing, people are going to want it. People, they can sense when you got stale bread. They can sense when this is all just for a show. You're not really in this. They sense it from you. But when you're carrying fresh bread from the Lord, when you've got the real thing, people want it. They want Him. You have to understand, it's not about these people are not going to be receptive. They're not going to want to hear me. No, they want to hear you. Are you carrying the real thing? You have to be connected to Jesus. When you're connected to Him and it flows out of a place of intimacy, then you bring that to them and they're going to want it more than anything else. That's what the Lord does. There's another testimony of, there was a pastor, he was preaching, and there was a girl who, she didn't want to be there. I think she was invited by her friends. She was 15 years old at the time. And while she was there, she was just there, sitting there because her friends brought her there, not really interested in being there at all. Well, the end of service came, and she decided, I'll come up for prayer. And it was like a 5-second prayer, and that was about it. She left. She went home. God did something that night to her that absolutely changed her life forever. After that moment, after that short 5-second prayer, she went home absolutely on fire for Jesus. She didn't want anything to do with Jesus before that, but something that God did in her heart, just it ignited something. It lit a flame. So she went home on fire for the Lord, and she could not stop. She couldn't contain it. It wasn't just a one-day thing. It wasn't just a two-day thing. This kept going on and on. So much so that the next day she went to school, and she couldn't stop praying for her classmates. She couldn't stop telling her teachers and everybody around about who Jesus is. So much so that it was becoming an issue because students were lining up to receive prayer from her. And so it was becoming an issue for the school. Things were being disrupted because this girl who was so touched by the Lord, she was carrying the real thing, and everybody noticed and they wanted it. And so this kept happening over and over again, and it didn't stop. That's what Jesus does. You see, in a place like this, all it takes is one moment for God to touch you, and then every single thing changes, and your life is never the same. It's just one moment. And you get to have more joy than anything you could ever imagine in your whole life. I don't know about you, but when I hear more joy, I think that's a great deal. I mean, who doesn't want more joy? Who doesn't want to know true peace? Who doesn't want to know true love? This is made for everyone. And I will tell you this, intimacy with Jesus is costly. It will cost you. You have to lay down your life for Him. There is a cost to follow Jesus. Regardless of where we are, regardless if maybe our life isn't threatened here, maybe it is, depending on where you're at. If you want to follow Him, if you want the real thing, if you want to really see His glory, there will be a cost. The cost for that 15-year-old girl? Well, she didn't stop. And all the parents made her friends believe that she was possessed by a demon. It's supposed to be Christian parents. All her friends left her. Everybody. Not a single person stood by her. Even in all that, at the moment where she lost all of her friends, she said, "What a joy it is to do this for Jesus. I wouldn't trade anything for this." Where is that? We need that heart where we say, I'm not going to trade anything in the world for this. I want the real thing. And when we have that posture and that attitude, we start to notice such a shift in our life and such a shift in other people around us. I want to see the Lord move on my friends. I want to see the Lord move on my family. That's what I desire. Because until then, there's so many people walking with a veil over their eyes. They have no idea what they're missing. And all it takes is just somebody to say, hey, this is who Jesus is. Let me tell you about Him. We have to lay it down, lay it at his feet and say, I lay down my knowledge. I lay down what I think is right. I lay it all down at your feet. And I just say, Lord, here I am. Send me. And he will use you. Every single person in this room, there's a calling on your life. And the Lord's calling you to something specific. And he wants to use you. And he wants to touch your life. He wants to touch your life in such a way that after he touches you, you just can't help but doing that thing that he wants you to do. And sometimes these things happen where you feel like you're not good enough. Sometimes you look at Moses. When the Lord came to Moses, he had instructions for him. The Lord met Moses at the burning bush. And after that, after the Lord encountered Moses, same thing happened. He began to commission him and say, go to the people of Israel, and I want you to tell them this. And Moses was saying, I can't. I'm not a good speaker. What if they don't listen? What if they don't believe? This is normal. When you have those moments where you feel like, I don't know if I really am. I don't know if I'm worth this. I don't know if I can do this, Lord. I really don't know if they're going to believe me. I don't understand. You just have to go. Like Exodus says, the Lord said, if you will just go, I will use you. That's all it takes. Look like a fool for Jesus. It's okay. It's okay. He's worth it. He's worth any cost. We just have to trust in him. It starts with trust. It starts with saying, Lord, you are the one I want. It's a choice every single day. It's not always going to feel like we want it to. But we have to make that choice and say, Lord, I choose you. And the same thing for Ezekiel. When the Lord encountered Ezekiel, it says, all around him was a glowing halo, Ezekiel 1, like a rainbow shining in the clouds on a rainy day. This is what the glory of the Lord looked like to me when I saw it. I fell face down on the ground, and I heard someone's voice speaking to me. When you're in his presence, and it's real, you cannot help but fall on your face. You just can't. He is too glorious. He's too magnificent. He is too wonderful. The only proper response is to get on your knees and to just give him the glory and to say, Lord, I worship you. It's to put yourself in a humble place. Not that you know it all. Not that you have it all together. But Lord, I don't know it all. I don't have it all together. I don't know how things are going to work out. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. I don't know how I'm going to pay my phone bill. I don't know how I'm going to get that job. But I just sit here, God. And I say, Lord, use me. And I consider it a joy to endure for you. And he uses it in a way you could not even imagine. He will use it. Do you believe it? You believe he's going to use you? I remember when I was at a school and there was other people there, other students, and the whole time they had all these encounters with God about the things that he did for their life, the things of how he touched their life. And the whole time I was like, man, Lord, I want that. I want those encounters. I hear these people of what you've done for them, what you've shown them. I was just like, Father, I just want that. And after about 8 weeks of being there or 6 weeks, just day after day, crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, I want that encounter. I want that encounter. I want to encounter you. I want to see you, Father. There was one night where I wasn't really feeling the best. I was congested, and it wasn't the best night for me. And so I was making my way to where I was sleeping. And I heard in the classroom, there were students having late night worship. And there was this guy that was just absolutely, he was screaming. He was on the ground screaming. And I felt like someone put a rope around me and they were just pulling me in the room. I was tired. I wanted to go to sleep and I didn't feel good. But I just felt that tug and that pull. And so I was like, okay, I'll go in this place, and I'll go into the worship, and I'll see what happens. Well, that guy that was yelling on the ground, he stopped and he said, "The Lord took me in the throne room, and this is what I saw. Every person in this room, they're going to be given a fire that's not going to go out." And then as soon as he said that, something just happened. I was sitting on the chair, and all of a sudden, I just saw an angel coming in the room, touching every single person, and just absolutely, there was a fire coming upon each person. And I told them that, and as soon as I told them that, the presence of God hit me so hard, I just hit the ground, and I just lost it. I mean, you guys know, I can be quiet. I was screaming to the top of my lungs on that floor, and it went on for 5.5 hours without stopping. When I was on the ground, the Lord revealed himself to me. And I was right there in front of him, just like I can see you, just like you can see me. I was face to face with the Lord, and his eyes were so bright that you could not see anything. Brighter than the sun, brighter than anything you could ever imagine. And it was unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. And I missed that. I'm like, "Lord, I want to be back there. That's all I want to be." It was 5.5 hours, felt like 10 minutes. I just want to be right there with you again, Lord. And he wasn't even speaking, but it's like I could see what he was saying. He could see every mistake I made, every sin that I did. He could see all the stains. He could see all the mistakes. But in that moment, I felt the fullness of his love. That even though he can see every little thing that we've done, he still loves us more than anything we could ever imagine. More than any person could ever love us. He can see all the spots, all the stains, but he still says, "You're the one I want." And the love he has for you is not like any love that we know. That is him. That's what happens in his presence. He looks at you, he says, "You're the one I want." And then he gives you this gift and he says, "Now I'm sending you out. Will you go? Will you go? I have this for you. Will you take it?" And all we have to do is say yes. And if we just say yes to him every single day, you will start to notice a change. But we have to come to him. We have to be humble. We have to get on our knees. We have to get on our face. And we have to be willing to pay the cost to know him, to be close to him. We have to pay the cost. So I want to begin to end here. And I, if you guys wouldn't mind, if you just would stand. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're at right now in life. It doesn't matter the things you've done, but God wants to touch you. He wants to encounter your life. And you might be a VIP Christian. You've been doing this for years. That's cool. The Lord wants to touch you. He wants to encounter you today. But it takes a place in our heart saying, "Lord, I'm willing to be uncomfortable for you." Remember, we cannot let this fear of man thing grip our heart. Because if we do, then we miss out. What did the angel say? His glory has filled the earth. His glory is here right now. But Jesus said, "Believe and you will see his glory." We have to believe and we have to be willing to be uncomfortable and look like a fool for him. And so I want to invite the worship team up. If you're in this room and you need a touch from the Lord. Yeah, prayer team, if you come up. If you're in this room and you need a touch from him, I would invite you to come up in this moment, in this time, and receive prayer from these people and allow him to do whatever he wants to do this morning. It only takes one moment, just like that girl who is changed forever, and still today, all she does is preach. It just takes one moment. And when we give the Lord that moment, that's it. It's over from there. And we get to experience him in a new, fresh way that we never knew we could. So for everyone else, let's just open our hands and pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. And I ask, Lord, that you would encounter each of us. I ask that you would encounter us at our homes. I ask that you would come to us in dreams. I ask, Father, that you would use our hands. Just light our hands on fire, Lord, to pray for our friends, our family. I pray for fear of man to be stripped away right now. And I ask that you would put a boldness within each of us to share your word. Give us that boldness and that courage to not care about what people think. And use us, Lord. Here we are. Send us. Here we are. Send us. And I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, Lord, that you never have given up on us. And you never will. So, Holy Spirit, come and touch us now. In Jesus' name, amen.